Is China a threat or an opportunity? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. After Brexit, China becomes an even more important economic partner for Britain. There's tension, though, between the two over citizens' rights protests in Hong Kong, a former British colony handed back to China in 1997. British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt defied Chinese diplomats who told Britain not to interfere. But he continues to warn of serious consequences if China tries to dilute Hong Kong's freedoms.
China is a country that has benefited massively from the application of a rules-based international system where countries have agreements with each other which they honour. And so to not to honour this very important agreement between the United Kingdom and China, of course, would have consequences for China as well as for the UK.
The BBC's diplomatic correspondent James Landale has more.
The British know at the moment that post-Brexit they're going to need countries like China, one of the largest economies in the world. However, if the Chinese continue carrying on, if the Hong Kong authorities use this to crack down further on dissenters, on democratic campaigners in Hong Kong, then I think the British government will find itself in a place where it has to keep up the pressure on China, even if it does cause damage to sort of wider economic relations.
The BBC's James Landale. Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mixed. US markets are, of course, closed for July 4th. Prices of 10-year Italian government bonds are higher as yields hit a 2016 low. That's a day after the country agreed to trim its budget deficit, avoiding disciplinary action from Brussels. Now, this weekend, the world's biggest trading bloc, bigger than NAFTA or the EU and Japan, officially launches. With 52 countries signed up so far, the African Continental Free Trade Area includes 1.2 billion people. Yesterday, Nigeria, Africa's biggest economy, confirmed it would also join. Razia Khan is chief Africa economist at Standard Chartered.
Nigeria, especially since the late 2014 collapse in oil prices, has implemented a number of policies that might be deemed to be more protectionist. It is looking to protect its own industry. It is looking to do more to build its own manufacturing base.
What do you think tipped the balance?
I think ultimately the arguments behind a liberalisation of trade. This is something that raises the welfare of all people. It is an opportunity even for Nigerian industry to grow.
Now, there's an estimate that the free trade agreement could boost intra-African trade by 52% by 2022. You've got the world's fastest growing labour force as well on the continent. So in real economic terms, how much of a difference do you think this will make?
It's very difficult for anyone to be able to forecast accurately because signing up to the agreement, expressing that willingness to dismantle 90% of the tariffs that exist between different countries is one thing. Now the hard work really begins. The discussions that must take place around issues like rules of origin, intellectual property, in the event of a dispute, how are those disputes going to be settled? And that could really determine the pace of progress. Any improvement from the status quo will be a good thing.
Razia Khan. Amazon turns 25 today, and one of its big target markets, India, releases its budget tomorrow. Now, trade between India and the US is growing despite recent conflicts over tariffs and access. But one area of tension remains e-commerce, as I found out in New Delhi. In a warehouse in the Indian capital, we are standing in a room with just lots of boxes, but I can smell some lovely things, cinnamon, some spices, some orange.
Yeah.
All ingredients being added to a luxury brand of tea. Balasarda is CEO of Vadam Teas. He says while India is the world's second largest tea producer after China, most of it is sold under foreign brand names.
So that's what we wanted to change, right? We wanted to build a brand which sources direct from farmers, packages in India, retains value at source, and take it to the world.
Vadam's tea collections sell globally via platforms like Amazon. Its biggest market is the US, where the brand recently got endorsed by Oprah Winfrey.
Her endorsement opened a lot of doors for us, convincing consumers.
This year, Indian exports via Amazon hit the $1 billion mark, and the Indian government projects that e-commerce will grow to be worth $200 billion by 2026. But India wants that growth to benefit its own companies and citizens. New Delhi's draft e-commerce policy is designed to let in foreign platforms without hurting Indian sellers. Richard Rosso is senior advisor in U.S.-India policy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Now with e-commerce, you finally see that India, instead of incrementally opening different pieces, they're starting to take a step back. There's two main forces, I think, that are pushing back against foreign companies coming in. First, you've got a lot of small traders and retailers. That's one group and constituency, certainly, that the BJP, the party of India's current Prime Minister Narendra Modi, has catered to.
Back at Vadam, in an area where tea is being vacuum-packed, I get a sip of the brand's turmeric tea. For CEO Balasarda, the U.S. might be his biggest, most important market, but he doesn't believe giving American retailers equal access to Indian consumers is the right policy.
I think it's still more fairer than what a China is. India, the market it is, I think it's also important to have a balance between promoting our local businesses and also letting conglomerates like Amazon and a Walmart come in. And I think India is doing that.
Balasarda there of Vadam Teas in New Delhi. Happy 4th of July, everyone. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.